It is a Thursday, and it's time to talk to the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney, KU. Still looking for that sixth and elusive win to be bowl eligible, but they still have four cracks at it. Brian, how you doing, my man?
Doing well, Wade. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm psyched. I'm actually, honestly, a little bit depressed. Here's why. I like Halloween, and I like eating candy, but it's kind of weird if I go out by myself and trick-or-treat at the age that I am. And so I've always relied on my kids to get that dad tax, you know? And so my 8-year-old, who's soon to be 9, is the youngest. And, of course, Miller doesn't want to do anything like that anymore. He's too old and sophisticated for that. And so I asked my 8-year-old, I said, "Hey, man, we're going out trick-or-treating on Monday, right?" He's like, "Nah, I don't want to." Oh,
really?
Brian, I got to wait to be a grandparent before I go trick-or-treating again.
And hopefully that's a long wait.
Yes. But, yes. I hope that's a very long time from now.
Right. But no, man, I hear you, brother. What's your favorite Halloween candy?
I like anything chocolate. I like the big King Hershey bars. That's the play. I love that. And of course, I really like anything as long as it doesn't have nuts in it.
Okay, I'm the same way.
Okay.
Same way.
I like the Three Musketeers, those minis. I'll like eat 22 of them and think that I'm not eating very many Musketeers because they're really small and they're bite-sized, you know?
No doubt. I mean, between October and the candy rush and Thanksgiving and then the holiday cookies, these 3 months, man, I think our waistlines get hit big time, but we got to take portion control into account, right?
Yeah, or you let it slide for a day or two, and then you go hit the gym feverishly and try to sweat all those calories off. Yeah, no doubt, man. Hey, let's talk about the KU football team. Listen, this is I don't know exactly where I want to begin with this, but I'll start here. Obviously not an ideal start. You're down 14-0, snap of the fingers, early turnover, not ideal. And I think it is a little bit disturbing, no doubt, that KU has this tendency here on the road. They were down double digits against West Virginia, on the road, double digits against Houston, Oklahoma. They were down 21 at one point and then came back and made it close. They pulled out the two with Houston, West Virginia. But then you go to Baylor, you dig yourselves a deep hole. But then once again, the bright side of that, the optimistic side, Brian, would be that they don't fold up like a cheap tent. They are resilient. They battle back. A couple times they won. Another time they cut it to 10 at the end at OU. And then Baylor, if they get a stop, they had a chance to win the game, believe it or not.
They did indeed. I think the fight differential we saw out of this team down 4 scores compared to previous years down 4 or 5 touchdowns in Waco is where you have to hang your hope and say, okay, this is clearly different, because I've done some really tough football games to call down there when it's 42-0 at the half. And we talked about that on a previous episode, you know, the old Tom Hedrick adage, the game can be bad, but you can't be. And that particular Saturday, this last one, through 30 minutes, looked like the game was going to be bad. And they were dominating us in the trenches on both sides of the ball. Baylor was getting anything they wanted in running the ball. I mean, they were running lanes that they were gashing us for 7 yards carry. And it had the fixings to be another one of those blowout games where we're just never a part of it. But the way our guys rallied back once they got that Jeremy Robinson scoop and return for 49 yards, that was absolutely huge. It showed me that the culture is changed and this team is different. And while I think we'll look back on Norman and Waco when the season is all said and done as two missed opportunities, and we'll wish that the Jalen Daniels injury, if it had to happen, would not have happened during that 2-week fortnight, because those two games, I think when we look back on it, we'll say, man, we should have gotten one of those. That's not to say we're not going to get our 6th and 7th wins at some point, but I think when you look at what lies ahead and when you look at how competitive Kansas was in those two games without Daniels, it just makes you wonder what they might have been able to do if they had it. But having said that, just the way they were able to score 20 straight points to get multiple stops defensively, the offense finally gets it going. Jason Bean was Jekyll and Hyde one half to the next, and I guess that's a good and a bad thing, but at least he was able to flip the switch and turn it on in the second half. All of that showed me that, you know, we are much better, and the corner has been turned to previous Kansas teams that would have gotten down and, as you said, folded up like a tent. That was not the case with this team, and that obviously starts at the top with Lance Leipold. And hopefully, you know, heading into the bye week, there's something positive confidence-wise you can take out of that second-half performance, even though it's in defeat. Not preaching moral victories here at all, but if you get absolutely thumped and you lose by 49 or something, it's a down-and-out kind of feeling heading in. But the fact that they fought back and made a game of it, you know, hopefully there's some things to hang your hat on there. But I do hope, I wouldn't say I expect, but I hope that we get most of our injured players back after the bye. Don't know on Jalen, but he was obviously in uniform in Waco and doing some light throwing on the sideline. It's a lot different, you know, when you're being asked to be in the game and take hits and throw deep downfield and all that. But 2 weeks later, hopefully there's a chance for him. I think Luke Grimm will be back. I think Jacoby Bryant hopefully is back. Daniel Heishaw is the one I wouldn't expect to come back. But I say all that to say this bye week comes at a really good time. And maybe the only thing better would have been if it came a week or two earlier. But I'm so glad they elected to play the West Virginia game in week two and not take the bye week in the second week of the season, because that's not when you need a bye week.
No.
We absolutely need one now, and I think it's going to be a great thing for Kansas.
Brian Hayden, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you as always every Thursday by our good friends at Interest Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701. You and I talked about this last week, Brian, and that was Kansas in their running game. If they could establish the running game, maybe take some pressure off Jason Bean, also allows your defense to rest a little bit more. And clearly, when you get down 14-0 quickly, you're down 28-3 at halftime, you can't exactly stick to the game plan if you did want to run the ball a lot. And the KU rush defense did give up 273 net rushing yards to Baylor. What about the running game? Is it should we not read too much into the statistics at Baylor because they fell behind and maybe had to give up on the running game a little bit? Or should we be concerned about the KU rushing attack?
Let's see. Yes and yes.
Okay.
So I think that we're concerned in that I think it's become more and more clear with each passing week, as much as we love Devin Neal, and I'm a huge Devin Neal fan, Daniel Heishaw gave this team and this offense chances to do things that no other back on the roster could. He was the best combination of power and speed. And that's not to say that Devin doesn't have some power to him, but Daniel was just, I think, the perfect complement of all the attributes you want. And losing him when we did, when he was really starting to take off. You look at his last two or three games, going back to West Virginia, he had the big 30-yard touchdown. That the way he closed out September, he was emerging as the 1A in a 1A, 1B backfield with Devin Neal. Mm-hmm. And Devin, I think, is still going to have some great days before the season's done. And this specific matchup, to your question about should we be concerned or was this just, you know, a product of who we played, they had two All-American defensive linemen. So, you know, 10 carries, 32 yards, not great for Devin, but there were not a lot of running lanes. And this was a situation where, you know, the Kansas O-line in that matchup was probably outmatched for much of the game. But I do think there's some things that Devin and Seve and Kai can do better. You know, in terms of shedding that initial tackler, you know, obviously your first chance at rushing yards is created by the pavement, the paved way in front of you. But after that, it's on the running back to make the right cut, to make the right read, to have elusiveness and wiggle and shake to get loose with these guys. And Heishaw was so good at not going down and so good at either stiff-arming you and bouncing off of you or finding a way to blow by you. And Kansas does miss that. So the answer to the second question, should we be concerned in terms of what it could have been had you had the full stable of horses? Absolutely. But was this a product of who we were up against? Yes, it was. And so the overall net of the answering of those two questions is they will get better. It will look better than it did. I was telling you last week that I thought Sevion Morrison might be due for a breakout day, and game script kind of got away from Kansas, as you alluded to, which allowed him to not get any more than two carries, and they netted 3 yards, and it wasn't anything like what the coaches were telling us could be coming for him. But that was a product of being in a 28-3 hole and Kansas having to air it out. I do think, you know, he's picking up concepts and gaining momentum on a daily basis. It's going to give him a chance to get more snaps more carries and hopefully more productivity. I think Devin has a chance to unlock some of that early season potential that we saw and late season last year potential. He's been in a little bit of a tougher sled funk that's partly due with the teams we've been up against of late, some of the speed in their first and second levels. But I think also there's some things that Brandon McAnderson, our sideline reporter, who's a fellow Lawrence High Lion alum like Devin, there's things that Brandon sees that Devin could be making subtle adjustments in his own game, in making that second cut, in making that move at the second level that it turns a 4-yard gain into a 14-yard gain. Because if you go back and look at it in his last 3 weeks, he's usually broken one big one, and he's capable on that most every play. There have been a lot of other plays where you go down after initial contact and it's 3 yards or less. And so we're trying to get more of the explosive runs, which is a combination of the guys up front, but also the backs as well. And I think they will get better. Devin still has a high ceiling, but there's no doubt this group is not what it once was with Daniel Hyshaw out for what looks like a very extended injury.
Okay, I need to ask you about this because I was having a conversation with someone that's certainly seen him come up and be a really good player, and that's Kai Thomas. And Kai Thomas was banged up early in the year. I'm not close to the situation. You can maybe help us out with this. Kai Thomas ran for over 1,000 yards, had a big bowl game. It's not like he was playing for a Division II team or anything. He played for Minnesota. He played in the Big Ten. And if you run for over 1,000 yards, you're doing something as a running back. And I know sometimes when kids transfer to different institutions, maybe the scheme's a little bit different. Maybe it doesn't fit them as well as they had hoped. Maybe it's just simply that it takes more time to get into a groove. But maybe the kid's just not healthy. Maybe he's played through some injuries. What can you tell us about Kai Thomas? Because I know there's a lot of people that had some big expectations for him, and we just talked about the running backs, and he was one you didn't mention.
Yeah, he's definitely behind the other two. And I think with Kai, to be candid, there's a lot of natural ability, but I think that Daniel and Devin and Tori and Sevi have probably had a little bit more productive offseason. Some of that was probably the acclimation to the new program and all of that. But some of those other guys are grinders, and they've earned it day in and day out. I think with Kai, he's still kind of getting his footing. And to call it like it is, sometimes he hasn't been as decisive in hitting the hole, in seeing that immediate opportunity and attacking it. Because if you go back and look at his stats at Minnesota, you're right. He had great numbers. I mean, this was their leading rusher as a true freshman, and a big part of that is his natural ability, but a big part of that is some amazing offensive linemen they had paving the way. And you go back and look at the bowl game, he had over 140 rushing yards versus West Virginia for Minnesota in their bowl game. And I'm thinking, where is that guy? But he's just not quite been as assertive when given the chance. You see it in practice, you see it on the field. There's been one 16-yard run that he broke off in game, but you don't see him with that same decisiveness, hit the hole, get where you're going, blast through. I just think both in terms of him adjusting to the transition to Kansas and the way we see him play on Saturdays, he's just been a little less assertive and almost too deliberate, and they kind of need him to just kind of take the training wheels off and let it rip, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because he's got a gear to him now that you can kick it into, and he'd be fun to watch. But I think the other guys are a little more decisive. They're probably a little bit more at ease and comfortable with everything that Kansas is trying to do, both schematically and culture-wise, and it's just taking Kai a little bit longer. So that's not to say give up on the kid by any means, because he was a state player of the year at Topeka High School and broke all kinds of Trojan records, and I'm thrilled that he's here. But it's clear in the pecking order, he's fallen down on the list. And if Hyshaw was healthy right now, we wouldn't be talking about Kai at all, probably. So that's kind of the brutal, harsh nature of the position and competition at the collegiate level like this. But I still think they have high hopes for him. And it's just not anything like what we thought it might be when you read the press clippings from his freshman season and thought, oh, wow. Look out Devin Neal, look out everybody else, because he's just taken longer to to truly settle in.
Yeah, there's always growing pains. I mean, we saw it last year with the KU basketball team. There's growing pains for Remy Martin, but at the end of the season, obviously, he came through with flying colors. So sometimes, you know, patience is a virtue, right?
And I think the difference is Remy had almost scored 2,000 career points at the time he came to Kansas. Kai wasn't quite as accomplished, even though the numbers as a freshman are really good at Minnesota.
Right.
In this case, there's still aspects of him as a D1 college player that he's still refining, and it just hasn't quite clicked as quickly as some would hope.
All right, I know it's a little ways off here. We're, 9 days away from the next game for KU when they host Oklahoma State, who's in Manhattan to take on K-State this Saturday. Daniel's injury situation you referred to a little bit earlier, are people pretty optimistic there around the football team that he will be able to go in 9 days, or is it just too premature to talk about it?
Great question. You phrased it perfectly. You know me, I'm always pretty open if I can be.
Sure.
But this is a situation where a coach has not said anything publicly either way other than, you know, it's been encouraging to see his day-by-day progress.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that being the only official statement, coupled with the fact that we've seen him in uniform in Waco and all that, would tell you that he's ahead of schedule. Is he enough ahead of schedule to start for the Jayhawks versus Oklahoma State? Tough to say, because the nature of this injury initially, you would have thought, man, he's going to be hard-pressed to come back and play meaningful snaps in the month of November. And yet here we are in late October, and he's already throwing passes. So we'll see. But like I said earlier, about 10 minutes ago, throwing passes on the sideline versus you know, getting rocked with a 290-pound defensive end breathing down your neck and potentially falling on the shoulder and all that, two very different things. And, you know, what made him so dynamic was he was running the QB option so well. And he's creative and he's slithery like a snake and just weaving his way through traffic. And think of those touchdowns he had at Houston. And it just, that's the guy that had folks putting him on a Heisman list and Kansas buzzing and all that. And they'll want to make sure that, you know, his arm isn't just healthy enough to rear back and make that over-the-top throwing motion, but that he can also, you know, take contact repeatedly. And believe me, they're not going to line up and run him nearly as many times. He probably won't call his own number on the option nearly as often as he was before whenever he comes back, because you're dealing with that possibility of aggravation. But I definitely think that, you know, with the strength training we have and the coaches and the medical staff, that they're going to only put him out there if there's nothing he can do to truly make it worse. Stability-wise, and you know, not turn him loose until he's ready. But the fact that he's kept a positive attitude and an open mind, and he's pushed himself every day to try to beat timetables and recover faster and all that, speaks worlds about that young man. And yeah, I think we can deduce from coach's very limited comments and what we've seen on the sidelines that he's ahead of schedule. But does that add up to starting versus Oklahoma State? Too soon to say. Am I hopeful, though? Absolutely I'm hopeful. But it's easy for us armchair quarterbacks to be like, oh, well, he was in uniform in Waco, even though he didn't play. So surely 2 weeks later, he's good to go, right?
Right.
It's not quite that simple. So let's wait and see what the comments are next week. Not that Coach will tip his hand in his Tuesday press conference, but maybe we'll get a little bit more indication of how close he's inching to a potential return.
Hard to believe, but for our folks that are listening right now, Brian's next broadcast will be a basketball game, right? Next Thursday, exhibition game, KU against Pittsburgh State.
Can't wait. Fired up. Absolutely. Jeff Boshi, by the way. That's going to be fun. It's amazing that the basketball season's already upon us. And I think with this particular group, practice a little bit of patience. Know that, yes, we get it. Faces change, expectations don't. We're preseason top five. Everybody expects Kansas to go out and try and defend the title. And come February, they're going to look way different than they do in October, and they may just do that, possibly make a run to Houston and defend the title. But my point is they've replaced so much. And even though Kevin McCullough is a plug-and-play upperclassman that has championship DNA, as Bill Self would say, and that it gives you three guys along with Wilson and DeJuan Harris that are definite battle-tested type dudes. The rest of these guys are all, you know, in new roles and larger roles for the first time, or they're freshmen.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, practice a little bit of realistic outlook for the month of November and patience with these guys. And that's not to say you should lower the bar tremendously. I'm just saying there's going to be growing pains with any team. I mean, think about when Mario and Brandon and Julian Wright were all freshmen. You know, it took a lump or two early. And this team might, because I don't know if you checked. I know you have, but I don't know if the common listeners checked. This schedule is ridiculous.
It is.
And I mean that. I mean that in a like complimentary way that they were ambitious and not complaining about schedule. I'm saying, wow, at Kansas, they never lob up softball cupcakes, because not only are the lesser conference teams usually teams that are picked to win their respective leagues and thus March Madness teams, but then you schedule Kentucky, Duke, and Indiana. And, you know, when you go to Atlantis, the second opponent, should you get by NC State, will probably be a top 20 Dayton team that beat Kansas a year ago. And, I mean, you can stack them up. There's just numerous either ranked or receiving votes type opponents that Kansas is going to grow up fast against and get a litmus test pretty quickly against. And so I would just say a lot of freshmen, a lot of newbies. We got the ultimate cake baker. So let the cake bake,
sure,
so to speak. Know that it's going to look way different in January and February than it will in November and December. But at the same time, be excited, because we've got a McDonald's All-American, National Player of the Year in Grady Dick, and two more Mickey D's All-Americans coming in with him in Ernest Duday and MJ Rice. But for Ernest and MJ, it's just going to take a little bit longer. And then we've got an All-American candidate in Jalen Wilson, who's grown up so much as a player and person. I can't wait to see him lead this team as the face of the franchise. And then, you know, Bill Self and Fran Fraschilli were talking last week in Kansas City about DeJuan Harris perhaps being the most underrated player in America.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to be excited about. It's just one of those things that's going to be a work in progress, I think, the first 6 to 8 weeks.
No, I agree with you. And by the way, Jeff Boshi is the head coach at Pittsburgh State University. That's who KU play next Thursday exhibition, which you can hear on Z96.3 Lake. Boshi was the head coach at Missouri Southern, comes across state lines to Pittsburgh State. I got two quick off-the-wall questions for you. One I think you're going to like. Will the Lakers win a will the Lakers win a game this year in the NBA? The Lakers are 0-4, and I bring this up because they played the Nuggets last night, and a big part of the team winning a national title a year ago, Christian Brown, had 9 points, 5 rebounds, played 25 minutes, and Christian so far with the Nuggets, and I'm hearing just rave reviews, he's averaging 4.5 points, which doesn't sound like a lot, 3 rebounds, but he's only playing 16 minutes. He's shooting 50% from the floor, 43% from three, and he's playing some really good defense. He's off to a really good start with the Nuggets from what I hear.
Yeah, he's been great. They love his energy, his hustle. Obviously, he's got some swagger to him.
Oh, yeah.
They love all of that. And so I'm fired up. I actually watched that whole game last night. And to answer the Lakers question, obviously they're going to win the game, but will they win enough to be in the top eight in the West and make the playoffs? As the roster's currently constructed, they might be hard-pressed to do that. And that's such the two Hall of Famers in LeBron and Anthony Davis. But they need more outside shooting. It's clear that even though Anthony and LeBron have both played all four games at this point, that they're gonna their bodies are at certain stages of their career where they're gonna take time off, and I just don't like the supporting cast they have around them right now, especially with Russell Westbrook being kind of a tough one to figure out one game to the next. So I think they're gonna have to make some moves. They realize that. Question is, how much can you change in season? But it does seem like, much like last year and the year before it, prior to or coming on the heels of the bubble championship that they won, which as a Jordan guy I still put an asterisk by, it kind of feels like they've wasted some golden years of LeBron's, tenure.
I agree with you. All right, and then the official off-the-wall question for you. I'll let you choose what you want to do here, because I may have asked this once before over the years prior. Best Halloween costume that you ever wore when you went trick-or-treating, or just a fond memory of Halloween that you recall when you were a child, when you were out trick-or-treating?
Yeah, I think we did have this one once before, and the answer I gave you was my parents went to all kinds of lengths. For some reason, we decided that we wanted to make me a one-armed bandit slot machine. And so they built this thing out of a cardboard box that had like 777.
I don't remember this story. Keep going. This sounds good. Okay.
Yeah. So it was a big boxy-looking thing, and there was a coin slot for you to put your quarter in or whatever. and then there was a hole in the side where my arm stuck out the side, and I had a black sock on my arm, and that was the pull the slot machine arm, or one arm bandit slot machine. And so I walked around. I remember taking that to school and getting some funny looks from my third grade teacher, like, are you promoting gambling as a third grader here? But my grandparents were so into going to the casinos and all that, that I kind of got into it. That's what my parents came up with. And I was so impressed. My mom just worked just tirelessly to make that look cool. And it certainly did.
I hope there were some photos taken of that.
There are.
Good.
I'll have to see if I can dig through the Haney family photo album.
Please do. Post on social media. I'd love to see it. I would love to see that. That's funny stuff. Hey, well, enjoy your Saturday off from calling a football game, and we look forward to talking to you next Thursday, and we'll have a basketball game that night, Pitt State and KU, and then we'll preview KU against Oklahoma State in football. Thanks for the time, as always.
Can't wait, man. It's going to be a busy month, but a fun one, and look forward to breaking it all down with you, my friend.
Sounds good. Take care. And that is Brown Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday here on The Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.